You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we're monkeying around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. Do what we like to do. We don't have time to get restless. There's always something new. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to TPC. I am rested, recharged, and refueled after taking a very rare week off. And let me tell you something. I guess I say it every time I do take one of those rare weeks off. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I was pacing around like a crack addict, needing a hit, waiting for this week's show as recently as just a couple of days ago. I needed a little mental break after the great conference. I typically take 1 week off in the spring, 1 week off in the fall, and last week was that week. My wife and I are helping my parents move, so that's a big undertaking. And we also spent a little time doing that last Saturday, and then we went to a wedding together on Saturday nights. We had a little night out and some family time, and so it was much needed and much appreciated. But, man, am I ready to get back to work tonight? And it's been a while since we have had a quintessential episode of TPC, but tonight is going to be exactly that. That being said, welcome to the show. Of course, I'm James Edwards, Keith Alexander. Keith, it is great to be back with you. I'm shaking the hand of Keith Alexander the Great as we speak. And, you know, Keith, it's been a month, really, since we have had a standard fair show. You go back, of course, three weeks ago tonight, we had the 15th anniversary conference, and we did the live broadcast from there, which fantastic radio, don't get me wrong. The following week, we did kind of a post-afterglow review of the conference, and then last week we were, the whole regular crew was out last week, yours truly, Keith and Jack Ryan. But man, what great show. I received feedback from regular listeners saying it was the best pair of interviews Winston has done in years, and he had Ken Gividen and Reverend Brett McAtee on. If you missed last week's show, go back and listen to it. And Sam Bushman was at the absolute top of his game. What an excellent – I listened to that and was absolutely enthralled and riveted listening to Sam break down the situation where the Mormon families were massacred there by the drug cartels. And Sam really gave you the rest of the story in a storytelling way that only he can do. It was a powerhouse show last week, even though we weren't here. We got a lot to do tonight, Keith, to match the efforts that Winston and Sam gave the audience last week. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. But this will be our first time in a month that we're back to, as I say, business as usual. We've got three mainstays tonight. Mark Weber is going to be on in the very next segment to talk about the Stephen Miller flap and that media manufactured controversy. Brad Griffin will be on in the second hour to talk about the Groper Wars, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I don't know the fads these new kids are into. We'll find out about it, though. We'll learn about it together. We're also going to talk about the violence that has befallen the Popeye's Chicken chain of restaurants. Paul Fromm in the third hour to close it out with commentary on the politically correct firing of a Canadian icon, sportscaster Don Cherry. What did he do? We'll tell you about it. Mark, Brad, and Paul all coming your way tonight. Me and Keith, Jack Ryan, too. That's what's coming your way as we get back to quintessential TPC, as I put it. Keith, what'd you do last week on your night off?
I went to the Ole Miss football game.
I should have known.
Yeah, that's what I did, and I probably saw the last victory they'll have all year. They're playing LSU, number one in the country this year. I mean, this week. But, you know, you're wrong, James. This is not the quintessential program. We've got more guests than we normally have. We're like a We're like a home cooking restaurant. We normally have a meeting two or a meeting three or something. But you know, this time we're going to have wall to wall guests.
Well, you see, I mean, we, you know, having a couple of weeks, you know, you get a log jam. You're right. It is typically me and you in the first hour talking about the issues, then a guest, and then some follow-ups, not filler necessarily, but any overflow, then Jack Ryan closes. Well, Jack Ryan's still going to close. Well, whatever. It's still going to be a great show.
Yeah, and James is having a great party here at his house right now, too.
Yeah, I got to get back home to it after the show, so that's another thing. I couldn't take off another week. Well, my brother, I have one sibling, a younger brother, and they are expecting, and there's a gender reveal party at my house tonight, so as soon as that...
I thought James was coming out of the closet. I didn't know what...
No,
see, I'm so old-fashioned, I don't know what a gender reveal
Well, let me tell you, no, I'm not changing genders. It's actually my brother. They do these things now, if you don't know. You have a party where you reveal to your family and friends what gender the baby is going to be when it's born. And so that's what's going on at my house tonight. And at 9 o'clock, I'm going to hightail it out of here, get back to the house.
It's something unknown to my generation.
But it sounds like a good plan.
You know
what we did when my wife and I did it? Well, we've done it twice. But the last time we did it, we actually had a nurse come to our home and perform a live ultrasound with Danny on the table. And the nurse detected the sex.
As long as God gets to choose the gender and it's not someone else,
The nurse revealed what God intended, and so she did an ultrasound on Danny live in front of this whole crowd of people that we had there at the house. And she said, "Are y'all ready to know what it is?" And then she announced, you know, in that case, the second one, it was a boy, and everybody went nuts, of course. And it's a fun thing to do. It's a good reason to get together to find out what the sex is going to be. Still a couple of months prior to the birth, of course, you got time to get those gifts in, don't you know? And so that's what's going on at my house tonight.
We need to have a gender reveal party for Rachel Maddow. Of course,
that's a different kind of gender reveal. That's after you. That's when you reassign your own gender or sexual orientation, you know, midlife. That is not what's going on at the Edwards house. But I do have to get back there tonight. But I couldn't take another week off. I missed you all too bad, folks. I missed you all too bad. But that's what's coming up tonight. Mark Weber, Brad Griffin, Paul Fromm, If You Can Handle It. And then I just felt like we'd do a little happy song to kick us off tonight, the Monkees theme. You ever been called a monkey, Keith? Have you been called worse than that?
Yeah, I've been called even worse than that.
But they've never called you what?
Late for dinner.
That's it. You're back in the saddle for sure. Okay, well, that is what we've got planned. We're going to get to Mark post-haste here after the first break. Man, this whole Stephen Miller thing. Have you been following that?
Yeah, I have. You know, you would think that he was...
You would think he was white.
Really? He's a Jewish guy that dares to vary ever so slightly from the mainstream. And you would think, and he is being excoriated for the great sin of occasionally checking VDARE to see what they have to say about immigration.
Well, we're going to break all of that down in depth with Mark when we come back. Jared Taylor was a part of that story too, because I think he also allegedly forwarded a Amarin link to the rat that the SPLC had, Katie McHugh. And I talked to Jared about that this week. We're going to have Jared on tonight, but, you know, Jared's got his priorities all out of whack. I said, "Jared, you know, we got to have you on to talk about this." He said, "Well, you know, I'd never turn you down, James, but I got tickets to go see Shakespeare." And I said, "Man, friends like these, huh, Keith?"
Well, he's probably going to be watching a couple of fruitcakes on stage.
No, so, you know. No. Surely not.
Well, see, I do the same thing. I go to the ballet and things like this occasionally. Even though I know there are downsides to it nowadays, but we have to keep white culture alive.
That's
people.
It. And that's what Jared's doing. God bless him. That's what he's doing tonight. So we're going to have Mark Weber talk about the story. And Mark can do as good a job as anybody. Mark's one of our all-time favorites, one of our most regularly featured guests. We're going to get to him next to talk about Stephen Miller, Donald Trump's advisor, who's come under fire this week for having some sensible thoughts, common sense thoughts. We'll be right back to tell you about it.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, as promised, folks, we're back with one of our most favorite and most regularly featured guests, Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. Now, we're going to start with Mark by talking about the Stephen Miller kerfuffle. And we think that'll be a good jumping off point to highlight the deeper crisis in American life today. But before we go any further, let's get Mark on. Welcome, Mark. Mark, welcome.
Hello, James. It's good to be on with you again. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it is entirely our pleasure, as it always is. So Stephen Miller, as I put it, this media-manufactured flap involving Stephen Miller, who, in case anyone doesn't know, is a senior advisor for policy for President Donald Trump and is one of the very few that has been there since day one and also served in a high-ranking capacity on his campaign. So he's been a lifer as far as Trump's presidential life is concerned. Mark, very quickly, just a quick hit at this. Break down in your own words what has happened this week on that front.
Stephen Miller is a White House senior advisor. He's come under fire in the last several days, last week, because hundreds of, or dozens anyway, of email messages that he made in 2015 and 2016 were made public by the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center. And this has led to a lot of criticism in the media and calls by some prominent politicians, Democratic politicians, including presidential candidate Julian Castro and U.S. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, for Miller to resign. And so, I've been following this, especially after you invited me on the show. I read the SPLC report on Miller, which is a very detailed so-called hate watch report. And last night I saw a CBS News interview with a SPLC spokesman, a very one-sided, respectful, sympathetic interview with this self-serving person about it. And what this really highlights is just once again, it's one more example of just how ideology-driven bigotry has taken a hold in our country's political and intellectual life. It's a kind of, I mean, the left likes to talk about McCarthyism in the 50s. This is vastly overshadows the kind of repression that took place, whatever, on that level of the 1950s in the MacArthur period. And to demand that Miller be fired or resign for what he's done, his so-called misdeeds, is absurd, especially when one looks at the specifics of what he supposedly did that was so terrible.
Mark, this is Keith Alexander. I'm here with James tonight. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin, which I think is very hopeful for us, is that our message is apparently getting across to people with power and authority in the Trump administration. They're listening and visiting our websites. So, you know, that's, a great accomplishment, I think. And that's something that we ought to really take heart in, I believe.
There is a bright side to the whole affair. I think that the bigotry of this case, the attention that this has gotten in the media, it does encourage a lot of undeceived Americans into once again or even more questioning the direction of our country and the delusional utopian ideology that prevails in America today, notably in our mass media, in our mainstream media.
And see, people have broken out of that straitjacket, even people in the Trump administration. They're no longer between Tweedledee and Tweedledum, as George Wallace said so famously back in the late 60s, as the choice between the Republicans and the Democrats, or mainstream left commentaries and mainstream right commentaries. Thank goodness, because of the Internet, because of people like you and us and others, there is now a true alternative for people to listen to, and apparently everybody's hungry for it, even people that we consider to be, part of the mainstream.
Well, to fill people in on a little more detail, in case, again, they've missed this, which it really was, I think, the biggest political story of the week. I mean, that, of course, along with the impeachment hearings having now kicked off, which it was interesting, the timing of the SBLC release, and they've been working on this story for months, that they would release it on the eve of the impeachment hearings beginning. It seems as though that would kind of take away a little bit of the effect. But in any event, so Stephen Miller, this White House aide, allegedly had sent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails to this Breitbart reporter at the time, Katie McHugh. And in some of these emails, he sent her links to VDare, Peter Brimelow's website, and American Renaissance, of course, Jared Taylor's website. And Peter and Jared are both regular guests on this show as well, and good friends of all of ours.
And considered part of the movement.
Well, of course. But what he sent was not, any rational person wouldn't see it as controversial or over the top or in poor taste. I mean, it was just pretty much matter-of-fact facts. And, of course, the media's treatment on that is, well, now you have this White House aide who has been unmasked. He is an avowed white nationalist because he dared share accurate information about statistics and crimes and what have
you. What it actually shows is that he's not cowed by the left's constant hectoring. And that is a really hopeful sign for us.
Well, I mean, it was good that he sent these emails out 3 or 4 years ago. But here's the point, though, Mark. So that's what he did. And that's what brought down absolutely every single media entity has reported on this week. That's how big it was. It was a national news story, international news story. Everybody covered it. Everybody. New York Times, Washington Post, all the networks, everybody covered it. Well, one of the headlines, and this was certainly not an outlier. This was par for the course with regard to what the headlines were reading. This was the headline, Mark. This is what a white nationalist administration looks like. Now, again, a preposterous headline. We now live in a day and age in which Ben Shapiro is called, quote-unquote, a gateway to neo-Nazism. So, of course, anything goes. And I would ask, is there any white person or any white-presenting person who isn't a white nationalist or supremacist by today's standards? But, you know, I only wish that the Trump administration actually was everything the media is pretending it to be, and it is pretending it to be that. affording a couple of links from Ameren and VDare does not make Donald Trump's administration a white nationalist administration, to say the least. Mark,
it is a hopeful sign, though.
Your take, though, Mark, on the media's treatment of this whole incident.
Right. Well, of course, yes. No, all this is enormously one-sided. Look, I mean, our website often has articles linked to the New York Times. That doesn't mean we're in favor of war. The New York Times was notorious in pushing for the invasion, a bombing, an occupation of Iraq in 2003. But that doesn't mean that because one links to it, that one endorses everything that this or that organization has to say. This is absolutely typical. Look, this term, hate, is thrown around now so recklessly and stupidly. Anyone, any writer, speaker, whatever, who says things that are disparaging of a minority group or expresses pro-white sentiments is considered hateful. Well, on that basis, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, even the Declaration of Independence, which disparages American Indians, can be called hate. Because a group or a country wants to maintain its own integrity, doing that, and it is absurd to call that hate. Look, the hypocrisy of the SPLC in all of this, which, by the way, is embraced, supported, sympathized with by the mainstream media, is underscored by the fact that the SPLC has not a single word of criticism for the routine, systematic discrimination and oppression based on ancestry by one country in the world the United States supports, namely Israel.
Also, what's happening on this is that the one thing that you cannot discuss is America's foreign policy and Israel's role in
it. Well, I'll tell you one place where you can read about it is IHR.org. That's the Institute for Historical Review. IHR.org. We have its director, Mark Weber, with us again tonight. We're talking about the Stephen Miller flap, but we're using that as a springboard to talk about the deeper crisis in American life today. We'll continue that discussion next.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is starting his annual physical. The president went to Walter Reed National Medical Center in Maryland for portions of his annual checkup. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham says that the president took advantage of some free time in an otherwise busy schedule to start his routine annual physical exam. Several firearms that were found in the home of the Santa Clarita shooting suspect are being examined. L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva says surveillance video of the shooting at Saugus High School appeared to show it was a premeditated attack.
The way he was firing his weapon, he was counting his rounds, it appeared he knew exactly what he had. And bringing that weapon on campus to begin with, it wasn't a spur-of-the-moment act.
Voters in Louisiana are casting ballots in a runoff election for governor. Republican challenger Eddie Rasponi is facing off against incumbent Democrat John Bell Edwards. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation of world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
Former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch testified on Friday. She's a witness in the impeachment inquiry, and Democrats have accused the president of improperly ousting Yovanovitch from her post in Kiev. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham defends the president on Fox News.
Obama fired every Bush-appointed ambassador the day he was elected office. Every president has the right to have people representing them in foreign countries that he trusts.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross joins Fox Business to discuss the U.S.-China trade talks and China's proposed purchasing of U.S. farm goods.
Well, they can certainly afford to buy $40 to $50 billion. In fact, they really need that phased in over the couple of year time period. Question is, are they willing to commit to it? And if they are willing to commit, are there any escape hatches to the commitment?
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
And we are back indeed with Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review. Be sure to check out their website, make it among your daily reads. Support their work at IHR.org. Mark, a longtime friend, one of our all-time favorite guests, and we're so thankful every time he appears. We're talking with Mark about the Stephen Miller incident this week. Basically what it was, let me just break it down in one sentence. The SPLC obtained 900 emails from a former writer at Breitbart, and amongst those 900 emails, it was uncovered that Stephen Miller had, at one point in his life, visited the websites of VDare.com and AnBrand.com. And that's the whole thing. That's really everything.
It's almost Orwellian.
That's it. And the whole national media is coming down on white supremacists. Well, they've called him that forever anyway. But this is what a white nationalist administration looks like, was the headline in Rolling Stone. So that's the one we're focusing on. And it's so many others like that. Now, a healthy society would have had Peter Brimelow and Jerry Taylor themselves advising the presidents and not Stephen Miller. Mark Weber and yourself, Keith, too, for that point. But I was impressed with this, Mark. The White House did release the statement in the early hours of this becoming such a huge national media manufactured story. That's the way I put it. But the SPLC was at the core of this, and the White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham said this in their initial statement. We have not seen the report. The SPLC, however, is an utterly – this is the Donald Trump administration. This is the White House. The SPLC is an utterly discredited, long-debunked, far-left smear organization that has recently been forced to its great humiliation to issue a major retraction for other wholly fabricated accusations. They libel, slander, and defame conservatives for a living. They are beneath public discussion. Hey, you know what? Only the Trump administration, Mark, for all of its faults, and there are plenty, and there are some good things and there are some bad things, and we try to be even keeled about that, but you would have not have gotten that out of any other administration. Your reaction to that statement, Mark?
You know, that's true. There is another point that the Mueller is supposedly criticized for, and that is he recommended in one of these email messages reading the book The Camp of the Saints. This alone is very interesting.
Yes.
The SPLC claims, oh, this book is an example of hate. This is terrible. It called it an obscure book that was rescued from obscurity. You know, the importance of The Camp of the Saints, a book that I think should be read, it's well worth reading, is not because it's an example of hate, but because when this book came out, first in 1973 in France and then in 75 in the United States, it has become influential because it was so incredibly prophetic, because the way in which the book lays out the great debate about large-scale immigration from poor third-world countries into Europe has proven so much in line with what's happened over the past 40 years. That's why the book went back on the bestseller list in 2011 in France. Now, all novels, of course, are fiction, can take liberties with this sort of thing. But The Camp of the Saints is well worth reading. And when it first came out in America, in addition to some criticism, it also received praise for people by some critics because it's very well written. And again, it has proven very much prophetic and in line with what was happening. But that's considered hate by the SPLC. Now, the incredible thing, the important thing, is how much the media and politicians just jump like on command when the SPLC or organizations like the SPLC wave their arms, because what the effect of all of this is to greatly suppress intellectual and political freedom in our country and the ability to discuss things. The range of
if the SPLC says something bad about a book like this, it ought to be everybody's must read.
But yeah, well, and for my money, of course, because I'm on the SPLC Roll of Honor, it should be
considered aren't we all?
A mark of honor to be on the SPLC list. Look, we live in a society, unfortunately, a dark age in which those who tell the truth or try to are punished and reviled, and those who lie and deceive are honored and rewarded in our society. That's the sad reality of our times. And it's gotten so crazy that views that just a few years ago were enshrined in law and widely held are now called extremists. There's another word that's thrown around in this utterly irresponsible way. But the hypocrisy of organizations like the SPLC and that this White House statement once again highlighted, and it is known to everybody who cares to look into the matter, has to be emphasized, especially when an SPLC spokesperson appears and is treated with this great reverential record by the mainstream media. Look, as you say, in a healthy society, organizations that are attacked, like the American Renaissance or IHR, they ought to at least have the opportunity to present their point of view, but not on America's mainstream media. When you want to hear about what so-called hate groups are doing, they don't ask the groups themselves to speak. They
never
these very biased so-called experts to tell you how terrible they are.
You know, Mark, I thought you for a second you were going to say, when you want to hear what the hate groups have to think, you got to tune into the political I thought that's where you were going with that, which is true.
It's unbelievable. It's like trying to learn about Christianity from ISIS. It's like trying to learn about Martin Luther King by going to the Ku Klux Klan. It's unbelievably constricted, but millions of Americans understand that more than ever. And the situation has become so bad that millions of Americans increasingly just either throw up their hands in despair, or if they have some verve or whatever, they try to learn for themselves what the truth of the thing is. And that's one of the reasons why the system is in crisis. Camp of the Saints or what Amran has to say are important because what they're saying is in accord with the reality. And that book, The Camp of the Saints, has proven far more prophetic than Bill Clinton or Barack Obama or so forth. Has everybody forgotten about all the crazy predictions that were made when Obama became president? Nobody says, well, they were completely wrong and they should be discredited forever. No, they still continue. Or the crazy predictions made by Hillary Clinton and those people who supported the Iraq War in 2003. Their predictions were completely wrong, but nobody says, well, we can't have any of those people on the media anymore because they were so wrong. No.
Well, what they're trying to do, Mark, is this. They're trying to make us like Pavlov's dogs. They want us to recoil and never press that button again. You know, if somebody is denounced by the SPLC, people are that what they're striving for is for people to be frightened to ever visit these websites, because if they do, they're going to be marginalized. They're going to have their reputations destroyed and whatnot. That's where they're going.
It's not. They're not playing on an evil playing field. They say not only you shouldn't hold these views, but if you do hold these views, you might lose your job. You might be hurt, or your family will be hurt. They don't just this isn't an intellectual discussion. It does constrict our intellectual life, but it's backed up by firing people who just say obvious things. That's how bad the situation has become in our country.
You'll be cast into the outer darkness, as it says.
You know, it is interesting, though. The SPLC, I mean, you know, with $500 million in their war chest, I can't say they've exactly fallen on hard times. However, I mean, you now have a presidential administration taking them to task and speaking the truth to power. And the fact of the matter is, you know, all of the old guard is gone there. Morris Deese is out. Heidi Beirich is out. Mark Potok is gone. Richard Cohen is gone. They're actually now, for the first time in their history, actually led by a black person.
You know, it's almost like the Communist Party or the Bolsheviks in the old days. They eat their own. And quite frankly, They're much more effective at marginalizing people within their own movement than we are at, bringing any type of grief to them at all.
But the one thing, though, that they still have, the media will echo and amplify them, as we have seen this week. I mean, this whole, again, it's a nothing burger, as you call it, Keith. I mean, the fact that this guy in the Trump administration went to VDare or Amran a handful of times, that's not a story. That's not a story at all. But it became the biggest story this year, that along with the impeachment hearings.
And with as far as Potok and Byrick and Dees and people like that, the speakers change, but the message remains the same. It's that incredible. You know, it's how do they all speak with the same voice?
However, Mark, final word to you on this segment, and then we're going to move on to the jumping off point to talk about the deeper crisis in American life today that can be gain from examining the Stephen Miller kerfuffle. Very quickly, did you think 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years ago, you'd see a presidential administration release a statement taking the SBLT to task like that? And does that do us any good long term?
Surprising, of course. And it's also, the statement was based on the reality the SBLT has been caught with its pants down, so to speak.
The only way that you're going to hear about that statement by the Trump administration is through people like you and us.
Oh, yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, that was on, I guess, the White House's Twitter page, but you certainly didn't hear that amplified in the press. No, they pretty much forgot about that. So, hey, listen, we'll be back. One more segment with Mark Weber. While you're on the break, IHR.org, won't you? We'll be right back.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Can you confidently answer the question, was Jesus a socialist? Join us on Saturday morning, December 14th at Liberty Hall to hear the clear and insightful reply from one of today's leading champions for liberty, Lawrence W. Reed, author of Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty Incorporated is honored to present Dr. Reed for this kickoff event of Liberty Hall Lectures, Saturday, December 14th, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's free and it's timely. No registration is necessary, but seating is limited. Come early. Also, just in time for Christmas, buy 10 or more copies of the 5,000-Year Leap for just $250 each. Just in time for holiday giving. Single copy price is normally $10. Can't join us in person? Tune in to the Loving Liberty Radio Network and hear Dr. Reed live Tuesday afternoons during the Reed Hour and by podcast at lovingliberty.net or on your mobile phone app. Was Jesus a socialist? Find out at the Liberty Hall Lectures, December 14th. Go to lovingliberty.net for details. The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-7777. 6397.
An hour with Mark Weber always goes by far too quickly. Keith and I were just singing the praises of Mark during the commercial break. Keith, call me a liar. Were we doing it or not?
You were doing it.
Were you doing it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Mark is one of the most incisive commenters on the public scene that you could ever find. And as we like to say around here, when you hit the nail on the head, you drive it straight, and you can always depend on Mark for hitting the nail on the head.
Now, is that a Southern colloquialism?
That's what it is.
Okay, well, IHR.org, and you can get some more information about the man and his organization. One more thing, though, to bring the Stephen Miller commentary to a close, and then again, we want Mark to spend a minute or two talking about highlighting the deeper crisis in American life today that we can draw from this. Stephen Miller, you look at him, you'd say, you know, white guy, right-thinking guy, obviously common-sense-thinking guy. Now, if you're wondering what is going to happen with Stephen Miller, don't worry about it, because the Trump administration just today, for the first time that I saw, has come to his defense. Now, you may or may not know that Stephen Miller is at least partly Jewish. I don't know exactly if that means a mother, a father, grandparents, whatever, maybe the whole kit and caboodle, but he is Jewish. And the Trump administration today said that they were going to be standing by Stephen Miller and all of the calls that the Democrats have put forth for his resignation or his firing really troubles the Trump administration, because it appears to them, the Trump administration, that the Democrats are targeting the members of their team that are Jewish. So that is his shield that is going to get him through this, Mark.
That may do it.
No, I mean, that's exactly what the Trump administration said, that it brings them dismay that the Democrats are targeting this Jewish member of their administration.
But so, the real reason is that unless you're a member of the deep state, you've got to be banished from the government.
Anyway, Mark, your reaction to the Trump reaction, and then let's get into the wider crisis.
Well, I as I said, even before Trump became president, I think it's always safe to keep expectations about Trump's administration very low. It's worth noting that just recently, the Trump Organization refused to allow Michelle Malkin even to have an event.
Yes.
The Trump's
Mar-a-Lago.
And the Trump administration is certainly not overt or forthright in its attitude about these issues of immigration. It's very unclear. It's against illegal immigration, but even during the campaign 2016, Trump kept on saying, we're going to have a wall, but we're going to have a big gate in the wall to let in lots of people in legally. Mm-hmm. It's very unclear, because the Trump administration and Trump himself doesn't have a coherent worldview. He has a kind of view like many Americans of his generation. He wants America the way it sort of was back in the 50s or 60s. The problem is that the prevailing ideology, which was already in place since at least the 1930s and 40s in America, makes it almost impossible to really turn things around. And that's why after the Trump administration is history, people will look back and they'll wonder and scratch their heads, well, what really changed? Much as many people who were very enthusiastic and supportive of Ronald Reagan's administration, after it's all over, they scratch their head and say, well, what really changed? Because the general trajectory and the prevailing ideology of America is still very much in place. And
Mark, it's good. I think it would be like this. I think this is what it's going to be like. It's going to be like I, Claudius. Remember that on PBS? You've had one disastrous Caesar after another, and when you get a guy that's halfway good, he's going to be remembered. That's how Trump and Reagan will be remembered.
Well, I'll tell you, even more than Reagan, Trump is a mixed bag, but one with whom I could be compelled either way. If a pro-Trump partisan was pitching me the attributes of Trump and why he was better than the alternative, I could be convinced that way. If someone was saying, you know, listen, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You've got this stuff on the periphery, but, you know, come on. You know, the big picture, nothing's changing. And they would be right. They would both be right at once, Mark. How do we square that?
Well, within the existing system, and given the educational system that we have in place, given the way the media is, it's very hard to fight that. The mainstream media is extremely powerful. It's more powerful than our churches, which used to have a major role in American life. The proof is that when there's a contest of wills between the established churches and the media, the churches give in. They buckle under. And the media will still be putting out its message and doing spinning things its way after Trump. Remember, the 2016 election is the first in U.S. history in which polls show a majority of Americans voted as much against as for a candidate. Millions of people voted for Trump, not because Trump's going to change things, but because they loathe and detest Hillary Clinton and what she said and stood for. By the same token, millions of people voted for Hillary Clinton, not because they thought she was principled or ethical or capable, but because they didn't like what Trump had. Trump stood for and what he said. The basic thing is America's decline, its division, is going to continue. America isn't going to be made great again. It's a question of which one will more rapidly accelerate the decline and the breakdown that's already taking place.
Well, I was just going to say, you can't make it great again without tackling the racial component. I mean, it is impossible to make America great again without tackling explicitly the racial question, and Trump has never and probably will never do that.
And, of course, the other thing is Jewish power and influence. Race and Jewish power and influence are the key corrosive elements, and institutions like the church, look, just talk to James. His denomination, which was considered one of the most conservative in America, just excommunicated him because the denominational headquarters are under the control of leftists now.
Now, Mark, I want to give the floor to you. We have about 5 minutes left. So I want to just remind people one last time, you are the director of the Institute for Historical Review. You are an historian, a lecturer, a current affairs analyst, an author. You were educated in the United States and Europe. You hold a master's degree in modern European history. You're a man who knows your stuff. IHR.org is the website. So that being said, Mark, take us to the wall for this first hour. What takeaways, what additions to the conversation would you bring to the audience at this time?
Well, I want to just repeat what you've said, what we've tried to say, that the Mueller, as you call it, the Mueller kerfuffle, Fuhrer, whatever you call it, it's there's no beef in this hamburger. But the point is, these things underscore the emptiness and the hypocrisy of our system and our mass media, and that's becoming more and more obvious to more and more people. The question is, to what extent will people who do understand and who do who are aware of all this will act, will do things? I hear a lot of people though who were all excited about Trump and they stood up for him and so forth, and then they get disillusioned, and then they sit back again, and things go on. It takes real dedication. It takes a dedication, I think, that James, that you and Keith have shown and other people have shown, that's over a long period. This is a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. There's no magic fix. There's no magic bullet that's going to change things overnight. There needs to be politics ultimately is about power, and the people who really hold power in our country are still in place, and that's not changed, and it's not going to change in the foreseeable future. That needs to change before any real change in direction is possible.
As long as the mainstream media is controlled by the left, you know, Marshall McLuhan was prophetic back in the late 60s, early 70s with the medium is a message. If you can control the medium, you know, the broadcast media, then basically you control public opinion. That's really what we're having to deal with.
The power of the left is it does have an ideology. It's a utopian and a delusional one, but it's an ideology. The problem is that most Americans who don't like that direction and that ideology don't have a very coherent alternative. Even though we've talked about this before, James, millions of Americans who call themselves conservative cannot give a coherent answer of what they're trying to conserve exactly. They just want individual freedom. That's what they want better jobs for themselves and their family. It needs to be more than that. Unless and until there's a strong countervailing or ideology of our own and worldview that opposes the egalitarian, universalist one that's in place, one that, in fact, most conservatives say they embrace as well, there won't be any real change. That's a real
problem. Well,
in our country.
Yeah.
Now, just very quickly, I just said it a moment ago, if you are ignoring the racial component, you're on a fool's errand. You will never
You, I'm sorry, I had my mic turned off. Thank you for reminding me, Mrs. Producer. But what I was saying is, if you are neglecting to be honest about the racial component and what made America great to begin with, you will never reclaim America's destiny. That is something that absolutely has to be to be tackled and has to be reconciled.
And the other thing is this. The reason the opposition to the prevailing governmental and cultural zeitgeist can't get itself together is because we are denied the opportunity to, discuss things and to have a freewheeling conversation with the public. The fact that Stephen Miller is, they're trying to threaten his job with the fact that he even dares to visit a website that has a countervailing view to the mainstream tells you exactly what it ails us right now.
For God's sake, wasn't Peter Brimelow the former editor of Forbes magazine? I mean, what do you want? But anyway, hey, listen, Mark, we love you. IHR.org, folks. We'll talk to you again soon. Always a pleasure to have you on, Mark.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, James and Keith. Thank you for having me on.
You're always
welcome.
Great.
Paul Fromm's coming up. Brad Griffin.
Another
first,
hour
tuned,
of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.